You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The CARES Act that was passed by Congress and signed into law by the president 4 months ago, it established a $150 billion coronavirus relief fund for state, county, municipal, and tribal governments to deal with pressing expenditures due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And roughly $2 billion flowed into Wisconsin, and now local governments are tasked with distributing these funds in the best way possible. We're wondering if these dollars are making it to their intended targets. Was your community eligible for these federal funds? Have you received them? What guidance have you received on how to use stimulus dollars? We're at 800-642-1234. Jerry DeShane is Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Jerry, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me back, Kate. It's good to hear from you.
Well, you know, municipalities all over the country are in the same boat here, receiving these federal dollars through the CARES Act. How is that distribution going?
I would have to say that it's going like everything else with the pandemic. We're learning that what we thought would work didn't work, and what we're doing in the second try is working much better. It took a while for the Evers administration and local governments to get on the same page with what was eligible and how and why you described it that way, but I think we're there now.
Okay, so what have been the sticking points and the things that have been really difficult to work through in this process?
Well, the guidance that came down from the federal government, first of all, was non-existent in the first few weeks after Congress passed the CARES Act. The state literally did not know what the rules would have to be for dispersing the money. Then they got that. They had to come up with some of their own rules. And we found that the rules the state came up with for how, you know, what's eligible, what's not eligible, how do you account for it, just simply didn't mesh with how local governments operated in Wisconsin. So we worked with the Evers administration, basically went back and did a lot of fine tuning. And I am happy to say that at this point, it appears that most of the COVID-related expenses that your cities, villages, and towns are seeing, for the most part, the state will be able to give us reimbursement money for that. I do say the downside is the biggest problem is yet to be resolved.
So cities, villages, and towns, what kind of expenses are occurring amid the pandemic? What are the greatest costs?
Human resources. I mean, that's the bottom line is we've had to redirect what people in the village hall are doing. The election, you remember the April election and calamity is probably the best word for it. What a calamity that was. Well, the biggest expense was local governments had to shift people away from their other duties and shift them to working on pandemic-related duties, whether it was something as simple as standing at the door with a thermometer or handing out PPE or spending all your time on the phone processing absentee ballot requests. Those were a lot of the biggest shifts. Then there was a lot of hardware. In order to make telework work, you obviously need laptop computers. You need the hardware for being able to work from home or work from a safe place. And most village governments or city governments, for that matter, simply didn't have that hardware available.
Oh, certainly not enough laptops to go around and the devices you need with them to make remote work happen.
Exactly. You know, I wish I owned stock in Dell. Because I'm sure a lot of us, not just public sector, private sector, had to go out and do a lot of this work. Well, in local governments, there just aren't those sorts of spare cash laying around to do that. When you have to make that sort of an unplanned expenditure, it has to come out of something else.
We're talking with Jerry DeShane, Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. We're looking at the Coronavirus Relief Fund and the emergency aid set aside for municipalities to use to stop the spread of COVID. You can join in. How is your city, village or town using these funds? What questions do you have on the guidance? How are you tracking the money spent to help stop the spread of COVID? We're at 800-642-1234. Jerry, I would imagine that there has to be so much careful accounting here to make sure that you keep track of what you're spending in order to get that reimbursement.
Well, and you're absolutely right, Kate. And as a matter of fact, that in and of itself is a considerable expense. But we have been telling city and village governments from day one to keep track of all of their expenses, whether you do it in your accounting software or you set up an Excel spreadsheet, but to keep track of it. Because what happens with federal reimbursement, I mean, Congress passes a law, says $2 billion, yay, everybody's happy. But what they don't tell you is that about 2 years later, a team of auditors will come back through and fly spec every decision that the local government made. You know, and that's good. This is public money, right? It should be accounted for very carefully. But this is a pandemic. This is an emergency. And usually in an emergency, the first thing you do is cut all the corners on paperwork. What local governments learned the hard way a few tornadoes ago is that you can't do that. So when you're in local government, if you have to buy, you know, a self-opening door or you have to buy tons of PPE supplies, you'd better keep the receipt and you'd better have that somewhere where you can put your hands on it, because there's going to be a federal second guesser coming by in about 2 years asking about it.
With that federal emergency aid, do you keep those dollars separate from other budget accounts? Do you handle that money separately?
Well, on the when it's coming in, uh-huh. Yes. But the reality is the money coming in is reimbursing cities and villages for money that they had to pay out of their general fund that they did not expect. You know, in Wisconsin, that's $200 million shared among cities, villages, tribes, towns and counties. And they did not budget that $200 million. Frankly, that $200 million, I have to say, doesn't cover all of their losses over the last 6 months, not nearly, but it covers their out-of-pocket expenses. No, you don't put it in a separate account, but you do have to account for it separately.
Jerry, how...
Yeah, I'm not an accountant, Kate, so I probably said that wrong.
That's all right. You know, how do you account for things like changing out water fountains and converting to touchless faucets? And would that fall under the federal aid dollars?
We believe it does, because obviously it's going to keep people safe. Whenever you can cut down on shared use of surfaces, like faucet handles and door handles and things like that, it helps keep people safe. Initially, the state of Wisconsin said no, but when we carefully read the federal guidance, it said yes, or at least it made us think the answer was yes. So that's a lot of the jockeying. When you know, Congressman whatever, Congressman Pocan, Congressman Tiffany, when they voted for the CARES Act, they probably didn't write into the bill, yes, you can replace your faucet handles with touchless faucets. And they may or may not have been thinking about that. But somebody somewhere has to think about that. So far the answer is yes, Kate. And call me back in 2 years when the federal auditors have come through and I'll let you know if we were right.
We're learning how communities are using CARES Act relief funding and the challenges that they face with Jerry Deshane. He heads up the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. How do you think the federal government should be helping out cities and states right now as the pandemic continues? Do you work for a village or city or town government? Are you able to access federal dollars? How are you spending it? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Jerry Deshane right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Coronavirus Relief Fund and how the federal funds have trickled down from states to local governments to villages. It's the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. On Capitol Hill, there's a debate over whether to relax restrictions on how states and municipalities use the emergency aid. Current rules limit spending to expenses directly tied to COVID. Do you think the Federal Coronavirus Relief Fund did enough to help cities and towns across the country? What questions do you have about how your community can use these dollars? What about access? Join in 800-642-1234. Jerry DeShane is Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, and he stays with us. Let's take a call now. Linda is joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I was wondering, you keep hearing Senator Ron Johnson and some of the other Republicans saying they don't want to vote for any more money to go out because there's a bunch of money still sitting there. Is that money already been spent by the municipalities and they just haven't been, you know, the paperwork hasn't caught up and they haven't been reimbursed? Or is that just extra money that, you know, that's just there and hasn't been spent yet?
Linda, great question. And we had Senator Ron Johnson on our program earlier this month to talk about federal coronavirus aid, and here he is.
We haven't spent about $1.2 to $1.3 trillion of that $2.9 trillion. So rather than authorize more spending, what we ought to do is take a look at what we've done, what worked, what didn't work, what can be fixed.
All right, Jerry, what do you think here, getting at Linda's question?
Three quick thoughts, and I'll try to keep this fairly straightforward. First of all, we appreciate the senator voting for the CARES Act, but what the senator doesn't remember is that he works for a government that doesn't move as fast as Congress itself. We talked earlier about those guidelines that had to be written. When they passed the bill, they said, you know, go forth and spend this money on coronavirus-related expenses without really defining what those were. So the federal government had to define it, the state government had to redefine it, and then they turned to the local governments, and we said, fellas, what you wrote here really doesn't describe what local governments do. So that was the first thing, in answer to both Senator Johnson's point and Linda's question. Until those guidelines were written, the governor wouldn't authorize the money because he couldn't, and local governments couldn't even apply for the money because they didn't know what was an eligible expense. The other thing that comes into play is that that bill specifically does not allow local governments any credit for lost income. And that is far and away the biggest expense that local governments have. Here in Wisconsin, we're estimating cities and villages alone lost over $400 million as a result of the pandemic. And that's not eligible for reimbursement. So the bottom line is, have a little bit of patience. That money, believe me, will be spent. It will be spent over the next few months.
And, you know, Senator Johnson has said we want to go back and refine and make sure that it is spent and kind of cross the T's and dot the I's, if you will. Is that imperative to do right now, or do you feel it's best to get another allocations of funds to municipalities?
Well, flexibility will be helpful, and we support what he's talking about as legislation to make it clear that those faucets and those laptops and the time that police officers were redirected away from their regular duties, that all of that will be reimbursed and that the auditors won't second guess us down the road. But, you know, by a 2-to-1 margin, the more important issue is that lost revenue. Local governments in Wisconsin operate on a shoestring. We have seen the loss of over $400 million, we're estimating, in local sales taxes where they exist, in utility revenues, and local governments just don't have that kind of money in reserve. So making up for lost revenue, it should be, in our view, a priority of Congress's now over and above flexibility. Flexibility matters, but not as much as lost revenue.
In that lost income category, and you just named a few places, what is the impact of lost sales tax revenue?
Anything that goes to the bottom line of a city means that there's something they can't do. Nine times out of 10, that means they're not going to fix the pothole in front of your house this year. Maybe we'll get to it next year. Maybe we'll get to it in 5 years. It means local governments have to borrow more money, which is something that puts off the pothole problem for about five more years. So you'll see an increase in debt if Congress does nothing at all on the lost revenue. Some of our larger police departments will have to lay off staff. That's inevitable. Police spending is the biggest budget item in most city budgets, and that's where you go first when you've got a big budget hole in the future. You'll see most of this damage next year. That's just the way local financing works in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and when you look at it through the fiscal year lens. So Congress is currently debating another aid package. And what, from your perspective, from municipalities' perspective, what needs to be different this time in this aid package?
A little bit of clarity, a little bit more understanding of how local governments work. I think what delayed the first package more than anything else is that the federal government had no idea how local governments actually operated, how they operated their budgets. But most of all, they need to understand that just like families, just like businesses, local governments lost a ton of revenue. And when you do that, when you're already operating on a tight budget, something has got to give.
Have you seen, Jerry, local governments furlough or lay off?
Not in Wisconsin. Because we're primarily a property tax state, for good or bad, property taxes are a pretty stable source of revenue. So it won't be until next year that you will start to see furloughs. I think one thing you did see was a lot of summer recreation workers did not find jobs. So those weren't full-time permanent jobs in local government. But a lot of people that relied on that for temporary income, college student income, that did not happen because most of the summer recreation programs in Wisconsin did not go forward or went forward at a fraction of their usual pace. The furloughs that are really going to hurt core government services are still coming in Wisconsin. Look to those in 21.
Yeah, as you look to 2021, help us understand what budgets might look like, the reductions that you might be talking about or seeing. What does 2021 hold?
2021 holds a lot of frightening worries for us. Right now, we're estimating that that $400 million in lost revenue doesn't come back. So you've got that. If the state runs a budget deficit, the second biggest source of income for local governments is state shared revenue. So if the state has to balance its budget, and they're talking about $1 billion shortfall, the shared revenue program could easily take a 5 or a 10% hit. And that's $50 to $100 million of lost income for local governments. Depending on how long the pandemic stays with us, you know, revenues for utilities are way down, revenues for recreational activities. I mean, the other parts of local government, which don't sound like much to you and I, but if you're a little village and really all you have going is a convention, a meeting center or a recreation center, that's a substantial portion of your budget.
What happens to communities that are under 500,000 people, the small communities?
You just described virtually every city and village in Wisconsin. We only have one that's above that number. They suffer, you know, quite frankly, whether you're in Big Falls, Wisconsin, or Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the dynamics are the same. It's just that there are more zeros. You know, Big Falls has policing needs. Big Falls has fire service needs. They have EMS needs. They feel the pinch just as much as Milwaukee feels the pinch. But because there's, oh, I forget the number, 50 or 60 people living there, the sense of scale is much different than it is in Milwaukee. But the problems are the same. They're going to have to cut back on their ambulance service. They're going to have to cut back on what they pay their fire departments. You know, how exactly that plays out is going to be different in every city and village. But Big Falls is going to feel the pain just as much as Milwaukee feels the pain.
So as we start to wrap up here, Jerry, what keeps you up at night and what is your focus right now when there are so many challenges? What do you try to focus on?
That's a terrific question. The next thing in front of you is what local governments focus on. Right now, I will tell you they're focusing on the August election, and they're praying that we learned in April how to do an absentee ballot election, because in Wisconsin, we've never done that before. It could be chaotic. I'm very much afraid that Congress is going to go home without doing anything on this lost revenue question. So that's happening this week. And by the way, folks, please call Congressman Johnson or Senator Johnson and Senator Baldwin and the other people as well. But that's keeping me up at night. As much as anything else, Kate, it's the 900 people that have died in Wisconsin, the 50,000 people that are sick. We haven't gotten this thing under control. So I'm masking up. My grandkids are masking up. And we're, you know, doing our best to get through it.
Jerry, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Have a good day.
You too. Jerry DeShane, Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Coming up, we check in on Foxconn and its plant in Mount Pleasant with a business reporter. That's after a news update here on the Ideas Network.